All right. I'm not going to read all of this chapter, but I'm going to get to the important points, okay? Now, the Philistines, verse 1, 1 Samuel 17. Now, the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp on Ephes Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, with the valley between them. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistines' camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale armor, a bronze, weighing 5,000 shekels, and his legs were bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was strung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Now here's what we need to see. We've already said how Goliath is a picture of Antichrist. His shield bearer going ahead of him. Who's the one who prepares the way for Antichrist? Who's the one who prepares the way for Antichrist? Somebody tell me. The false prophet. So you can see the shield bearer, the one who protects him and goes ahead of him, prepares the way, the beast and the false prophet. You see almost kind of an image here, don't you, of John the Baptist and Christ. One preparing the way. Keep this in mind, the shield bearer. All right. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, Why do you come out of and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me if he is able to fight and kill me, and we will become your subjects. But if I overcome and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. Now notice the dependency here. Goliath is dependent, and the Philistines are dependent on the strength of the flesh. And notice how when Saul and Israel try to stand against them according to the flesh, they lose. When their dependence is upon themselves and their own strength, they lose. And it's just like when you stand against the devil. You cannot stand against the wiles of the devil according to the flesh. You will lose. He's stronger. And you can see that Goliath here is just like it says of the Antichrist in Revelation 13. It says he'll have the mouth of a lion, the feet of a bear. He'll be likened to a leopard. Well, those are described as descriptions from Daniel 7 of three other kingdoms. Babylon, the lion. I want you to remember this. Medo-Persia, the bear. And the leopard was Macedonia, Alexander the Great. Well, the mouth of the lion is about blasphemy. Exalting himself. Can you see Goliath standing here yelling? Standing against, with a great mouth of a lion, standing against the army of God? Yelling blasphemous things? You see the Antichrist in this, don't you? On hearing this, the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was the son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to the war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, and the third Shema. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days the Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took his stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, "Take the ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commander of their unit and see how your brothers are and bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines." So early in the morning David left the flock with a shepherd and loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. And he reached the camp as the army was going out to its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines facing each other, and David left his things and the keeper of the supplies, and ran to the battle and greeted his brothers. And as he was talking to them, Goliath the Philistine, champion from Gath, stepped out of his lines and shouted his usual defiance, and David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel." Well, let's see something here. In this place, we know that Saul in general wasn't a good guy. But Saul as the king of Israel is a picture of God. And to the man who overthrows Goliath, Antichrist, God will give his daughter in marriage, the church. You see it? And great riches. And this man will become king. This man will become king. And here's David. Starting to see it? And they'll be exempt of his father's family from taxes in Israel. You see the meaning there? Exempt from taxes in Israel? No. It ain't that simple, Paul. You tell me. We'll leave that for a minute. But think about it. This is what will be done for the man who kills him. Anyway, "What have I done?" said David. Well, first, Eliab, David's oldest brother, verse 28, heard him speaking with the men. And he burned with anger at him and asked, "Why have you come down here? With whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are and how wicked your heart is, and you came down only to watch the battle." Now, do you see Yeah, exempt from wrath. Exempt from bondage, Tricia. Exempt from law. Very good. But do you see this point about Eliab accusing David is the same way that when Jesus showed up in Jerusalem as a nobody, a little nobody, out to do big things. Didn't the Jews call down Jesus in the same way that Eliab is calling down David? "I know you're wicked and conceited. What are you doing here? What did you leave those few sheep in the wilderness come out here for? You just want to see the battle." Well, didn't they accuse Jesus of his motives and look down upon him and treat him like he was a nobody? Do you see a comparison here? "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can I even speak?" He then turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter, and the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. Because what did David say? Let's go back to that. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills the Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" Isn't that what Jesus did, is remove disgrace from Israel? "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" So this was overheard and reported to Saul. And Saul sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go out and fight him." And Saul replied, "You're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You're only a boy, and he's been a fighting man from his youth." Jesus, you're only a man. And guess what? Satan's been around a long time doing this. He's big and strong. But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them." Well, let me tell you, the lion was Babylon, as in Daniel's prophecy. And the bear was Medo-Persia. Remember, this beast will be like a lion and a bear and a leopard. Revelation 13, the Antichrist. And as I have destroyed the lion and the bear, this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them. You see the comparison? And they carried off a sheep from the flock. And isn't that what Medo-Persia and Babylon did? The captivity. They carried off Judah, the very tribe David is from. They carried them off into Babylon. And wasn't it that Jesus that stood up, and you can see it in Daniel chapter 10, against the prince of Persia? And nobody stood with him but Michael, he said, when he appeared to Daniel in vision. The sheep were carried off, and I went out and I did battle with them. And this uncircumcised Philistine, this Antichrist, will be just like Medo-Persia or Babylon. When they carried the sheep off, I went and got him back and took it out of his mouth. And when he raised against me, I smote him and killed him. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them. Every beast that's come up out of the sea and reared its head against God, they serve their purpose. And when God would use them to finish, when God finished using them to punish Israel, God destroyed them. You see the point? So then Saul dressed David up in his own tunic. He put on a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head. And David fastened his sword over the tunic and tried to walk around because he was not used to them. He goes, I cannot go in these, he said, because I'm not used to them. So he took them off and he took his staff in his hand and he chose five smooth stones from the stream. Now, this is the point. Saul, remember, we said here, is a picture of God. And what will happen to the man who destroys this Philistine? He will get the king's daughter in marriage. His family will be exempt from the taxes. And we know that David is anointed to become king. The man who destroys this Philistine. Right? Saul's a picture of God. Notice he tries to put on Saul's armor. David does. And this is a figure that Jesus was deity by nature. But God, it's not that Jesus overcome as God. It's that Jesus overcame as a man. He didn't put on the armor of deity to overcome. He overcame as a man. He didn't put on that armor. He didn't put on that deity of God. He overcame as a man, dependent upon God. And he chose five smooth stones from the brook. This is the Torah, the law, the word of God. Where does the word of God sink into? The mind. And when he threw that stone, it sunk into Goliath's head. He destroyed him with the word of God, like the two-edged sword that comes out of Jesus' mouth. And when he got there, after he had done this, remember what Saul yelled at him, I'm going to deliver your bones. I'm going to deliver, let me read it. You come against me with sword and spear, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I'll give the carcass of the Philistines' army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. And isn't that exactly what happened? As Saul and his armor bearer are slain, as Goliath and his armor bearer are slain, isn't it true that when Jesus comes in Revelation 19, he will destroy the beast with the sword that comes out of his mouth? And the beast and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire, and that carcass, that army of the beast, those Philistines, are given over to the birds of the air. Just like David cut off Goliath's head and gave his carcass to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Isn't that what happens at Armageddon? Jesus destroys the beast with the sword that comes out of his mouth, the word of God. Just like David did. Those five smooth stones, the Torah. And he cut off the head. And he gave the body to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And then Israel chased that army of Philistia and destroyed it. Can you see? Can you see it? There's more hidden here. There's more hidden here. I just wanted to hit some of the high points, because the idea is for you to go to the Word yourself and to pray, prayerfully seek God. So Goliath is a picture of Antichrist, and David is a picture of Christ here. And as it was done then, so it'll be. And as he destroyed the beast of Medo-Persia, and as he destroyed the beast of Babylon, he will destroy this beast that rises out of the sea too. This uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them. And he does it by the word of God, because he has spoke as a lion and blasphemed the army of the living God. Praise God. It's a good place to stop.